T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Take it easy, champ.
Rashad Marchand scores!
Loud noises!
Marchand, he closes and scores! Krug blast scores!
That escalated quickly.
Dale Arnold.
You know, I don't make those decisions, and I'm, you know, who's ever out there, that's who I gotta play
with. The nicest way ever of saying they're horrible and they don't belong in the league.
Rich Keefe.
Dolphins, Redskins,
yes.
Jets, Bengals.
Is this the Patriots schedule you're reading?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
How do you spell do?
You got horse balls.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house with us. It's Wednesdays with Wiggy. So you're going to get to see history tomorrow night. I don't know if you know this.
Love history.
Yeah, well.
I was a history minor.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, wow. How'd that go?
Yeah, pretty good.
We're using it on a day-to-day basis.
A couple classes away from maybe being a double major, but I said, you know what? I don't want to be too out there.
It's a good party gift.
Yeah.
You know, you had a good party, a little cocktail out, something to, you know.
Talk to you about things, you know, that happened in the past.
Yeah, wow. A little information I learned tonight.
So tomorrow the Patriots host the New York Football Giants at Gillette Stadium. It is the largest favorite in the history of Thursday night football. The Patriots are 16.5-point favorites over the Giants. The previous record for the largest Thursday night football spread, ironically also held by the Giants, when they were 15-point underdogs to the Dallas Cowboys in 1992.
Wait a minute. They played Thursday night football? Oh, that was a Thanksgiving game,
probably. Thanksgiving.
Right. Okay, all right.
So a 16.5-point favorite. It is the largest underdog in the history of Thursday night football is coming to Gillette Stadium.
Can't wait. Very excited. The Patriots have had a nice run of
history thing, weren't they?
Being a monster favorite in all
weren't
these
they
games?
The largest favorite on being on the road was one of the records that they just had.
Yeah, I think so. The Miami game, maybe?
Maybe or Miami. Might have been Miami.
They've had some crazy spreads so far this season, which is no surprise. The Giants have so many guys hurt, too.
But it's interesting because Ben Volen writing about the Giants coming to town. This is Ben Volen talking, not me. He says Daniel Jones is Joe Montana compared to the other quarterbacks the Patriots have faced this year. He says this is a real quarterback.
Okay. I mean, I guess, again, comparing him to the other guys that they have faced.
Oh, he said compared to the other guys they faced this year. Now, Roethlisberger, as it turned out, was hurt.
Yeah, but he still played.
Right. Nobody knew he was hurt prior to the game.
Daniel Jones QB rating, and again, take QB rating for whatever it's worth. That's just one stat that you have that sort of piles up a whole bunch of the quarterback stats. Daniel Jones is 25th. Now, that's also better than everybody else they face. Mm-hmm. So to Volen's point, he's right. He's better than everybody else. He's better than, you know, what Miami was trotting out there.
Well, they haven't faced a real starter. That's besides Roethlisberger.
Right.
Allen's
a starter, but
I guess you could say Josh Allen
stinks, but
Miami was kind of like, who's going to stop that game?
Washington's third string, Jets third string.
So it's
it's bad.
Now, think about this. You're Daniel Jones. You're coming to town. You're Joe Montana compared to the other quarterbacks the Patriots have faced this year.
You don't have Jerry Rice. You don't have Roger Craig. You don't have
Brent Jones.
So this stat is courtesy of Mike Lombardi. Think about this. The Patriots' third down defense this year, okay? Third down defense only. The opponents are 8-63 with 11 interceptions, 35 passes batted down. So on third down defense, the Patriots have caught more balls than their opponents have on third down.
That is insane.
It's nuts.
So when Daniel Jones drops back for a pass on third down, based on the first five games of the year, there's a better chance he throws a pick than completes a pass.
It's amazing.
Not even pick up a first down, just complete a pass, right?
No, just that's the pass straight completion.
Pass completion.
Yeah. 8 for 63.
Right, that's not converting third downs. No. That's just straight up what the passing percentage
and do
is.
We
that's
know,
off the charts.
And I'd like to probably even do a deeper dive into that.
Ooh, okay.
That 8 for 63. I don't know if we can find out. But how many of the 8 conversions that they've given up were against maybe a 3rd and 1 where a team might have ran the ball?
Oh, yeah.
No. The 8... Those aren't conversions. Those are the passing numbers.
Oh, that's just passing.
Oh, that was
so. That's just like that's just 8 completions for 60 on 63 attempts.
Right, right.
That's insane.
The 8 conversions.
No.
Completion.
I think it's a Pam situation again. Stanford.
Yeah, but aren't they total third down conversion 8 of 63? Isn't that
Now we're swimming.
No, but
in the numbers
that's
here.
What the
is that
Patriots,
what it is. So maybe it's not the completion thing.
Well, that's what the Patriots.
Read the stat again. Do you have the stat in front of you, Dale? Just so we can clear this up.
On third downs, because I checked this the other day.
All right, you looked it up.
The Patriots are 8 of 63 on third down. So the opponents have only converted 8 out of 63 times. Now I don't know how many of the 8 that they converted were passes or runs, but that's what their percentage is like 12%.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It's not what Dale is doing. That's not the passing numbers. That's just third down
that's
conversions.
Just the conversions.
I gotcha.
So teams have only completed 8 third downs against this New England Patriots defense.
Right. And that includes running.
And that
so
might
the passing numbers might even be even more.
Right.
Off
so
the
who
chart.
Knows? Maybe a team
got it.
Out of the 8 conversions, maybe they ran the ball 3 times. So a team is only completed 5 passes on third down.
I'm looking at Lombardi's original tweet, and it is confusedly worded.
It is.
He says, teams are 8 for 63 versus the Pats on third down, 11 interceptions, batted down 35 passes.
But even still, the stat is still impressive. You're more likely to throw an interception than you are to get a first down on third.
But just the stat alone, because that's one of the biggest things in football. When you look at like the top stats, it's usually third down conversions, both offensively and defensively. So to think that the Patriots, they're 8 of 63 on third down,
right?
That's impressive.
And on the flip side, the Patriots convert just under 40% of the time on third down.
You want to 50% is usually a pretty good standard.
Is
what you have. You know, if you ever get an opportunity going to a locker room in an NFL stadium or even a college stadium, they put up these things along the wall. What we want to do on offense, rush the ball for 4 yards a carry, 100 yards a game. Hmm. We want to be 7 or 8 yards a pass attempt. And third down conversions, offensively, we want to be at 50%.
Okay.
So
they're not there, but they're a whole lot closer than certainly what they've been allowing. They're allowing under 13% efficiency.
And I think on third down defensively, the 30% is, I believe, what's looked at as like, this is where we're doing good on defense. If we can hold our opponent to 30% third down percentage, that's pretty. So the think that this Patriots defense is around, 12-13%?
All right, so for the most part, the personnel is not that much different from a year ago. There's, you know, a couple of guys here or there.
Yeah. Winovich, Michael Bennett,
right.
A couple guys.
Not
yeah.
crazy.
For the most part, it's kind of the same personnel. Why are they so much better?
Well, maybe the personnel is better. Or Jamie Collins. Let's stop right there. We forgot about Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins might be their best defensive player so far this year. I know Devin McCourty was player of the month. Kyle Van Noy, I think, was player of the week. Mm-hmm. And so they've had a lot of guys step up. But Jamie Collins has been such a great addition. And then you also combine Winovich and Bennett have kind of more than made up for Trey Flowers. And I think also the defense was good last year. They held the Rams to 3 points in the Super Bowl. And again, it does go back, Dale, to who they've played. Like, I love the defense, don't get me wrong. And they have a chance to be one of the best defenses that they've faced. But how many second, third string quarterbacks have they faced? They were going to put, even if you took the exact same defense from a year ago and put them out there, they would probably put up almost similar numbers.
And if you took the punter out and just
punter's also good.
Set Jake Bailey aside for a moment, isn't Chris Winovich the best rookie player the Patriots have?
Chase Winovich?
I would say is because what other rookies playing?
Yeah, Juwan Williams is a healthy scratch most of the time. Yeah, Nikhil Harry's on IR.
I mean, Jake Bailey
so
is the best rookie, but I'm saying, football.
And the other thing that the reason why this defense is so good this year and it's a little bit different than last year is if you look at it schematically, the way they've changed their scheme is different. Last year, you would watch them, and they would always have, you know,
this is where I was trying to lead you, by the
way. Or three maybe defensive linemen on the field. Now when you look at this defense, and we've talked to Daron Harmon about this a number of different times, they might have only one defensive lineman on the team because they're so loaded at linebacker, and that creates a lot of problems. And now we've seen them add a little bit more blitzing into that element because they have linebackers that can line up in various positions and do some different
things.
See,
that's where I was leading you here. Is it simply Gerard Mayo and slash Bill Belichick, however you want to do this, that they're doing things differently with, for the most part, the same personnel? I understand Jamie Collins has been great.
Yeah.
But what they're basically saying is, we're going. We're going after people.
I think part of it.
They look at their personnel.
They can do it.
From last year, and Bill probably puts together the game plan and says, we only saw last year when you'd see with one defensive lineman and then everybody else kind of standing around. Generally, when we saw that last year, that was on third down, right?
A lot of the time, probably.
But now you see that on first down, second down. You start to see them add some more safety blitzes in there. We've seen Daron Harmon. We've seen Patrick Chung. And when your linebackers are versatile, where they not only can play against the pass, but they can also play against the run, and they can also get to the quarterback, you're able to do a lot of different things with that. You might walk Jamie Collins up, him and Hightower, and now you got to account for, which one of these two guys are blitzing? And now you're coming off the edge with Chase Winovich and Kyle Van Noy and dropping them in the coverage.
I do think that, and again, I know it sounds like we're dwelling on it, but anytime you look at, you know, certain numbers through five games, the reality is who they've played, right? I mean,
that's part of it.
Because last year they finished seventh in the league in points allowed. So it wasn't a top five defense,
but it was good.
Seventh,
really
nothing
good
to sneeze at. And then they really played maybe their best performance in the Super Bowl against a really good offense. So far they have played some really bad teams, and they've capitalized on it. They've made the most of it. They had really one bad tackling play against the Redskins. That's probably the one they'd really like to have back. But they've still only allowed two touchdowns, which is just absolutely off the charts.
They're really good.
Yes.
But they've also played really bad teams.
And that's just the way it is. And that's going to even out. I mean, you look ahead to their schedule, they are going to play some real teams.
And I'm
later
looking
on
at their schedule from last year.
I was just going to jump in real quick. The three lowest scoring teams in the NFL. So 30, 31, and 32. Redskins, Jets, Dolphins. Part of the reason the number is low is because they played the Patriots, but that's only one of the games that they've played.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three worst teams. Also in that lower tier are the Buffalo Bills. And then guess what? So are the New York Giants and the Browns, who you have upcoming. But the three worst offenses in football are Miami, New York, and Washington, and that accounts for 3/5 of your game so far.
And the point I was going to make, when you look at their schedule from last year, so through the first 6 weeks of the season last year, let's just use that, they played Houston, they were at Jacksonville, they played the Colts, and they played against
Detroit, right?
Kansas City, and you throw Detroit, were at Detroit.
Yeah.
So that's
a much different first five games, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, you look at their schedule, and now here's how they had the bye last year in week 11. So I know they got the bye this year. It's around, what, week 10?
Nine or ten,
They roll off Dallas, Philly, Kansas City, and Houston. So
Dallas may not be as good as we thought either.
But when you look,
but at least that's a team.
Yeah,
a real team, a real quarterback, a real running back.
So when you look at their schedule from last year, like how they're going to play the tougher teams later on, this was their schedule last year after the bye: the Jets, Minnesota, Miami, and Pittsburgh.
Right.
So they got, it's like flipped.
They
get the easy teams at the beginning of their schedule this year, and then.
But they're defensively, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. If we looked at the schedule ahead of time and you said, all right, through 5 weeks, where do you think the defense will rank points allowed? You probably would have said first, right?
But I would have said, what is it, 6.8 or something crazy like that?
The number is
ridiculous.
Silly. No,
historic.
It is. You wouldn't have maybe predicted they were going to be on a record pace necessarily, but I also don't think you would have realized that Roethlisberger was hurt, Sam Darnold would be out, and you know all these things that were going on with them. One thing, just when I was looking at these numbers, it's insane. We knew the Miami Dolphins were bad.
Right.
Do you know how many points per game they are averaging? They've only played four games. Do you know how many points per game?
I'd say 10.
6.5.
Wow.
They score less than a touchdown a game. That is insane. Like, you, that is, they are going to be, although they might get a win this weekend playing against the Redskins, but we could be talking about the worst team in NFL history.
Those are either them or the Redskins.
Yeah.
And the other stat that the Patriots have put up through the first, 5 weeks of the season that we didn't see this coming is the sack totals.
Yeah, what are they up to, like 24?
I think it's 24 now.
Yeah.
So when you
they're getting after the quarterback.
When you look at this Patriots team and think about how we've been around here as Pats fans or people that follow the Patriots, what has been their number one issue, it seems like, for the past 5 years?
Everybody's always screaming for a pass rusher.
Get to the
after
quarterback.
Chandler Jones left.
Right. Even with Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers only had, what, 7.5 sacks?
Yeah, he didn't have a ton of sacks.
It was like, get to the quarterback.
They got a whole bunch of guys that do it now.
And everybody.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say Chase Winovich might be their
lead. Does he have four?
He has five.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he has five. So when you look at guys that can get to the quarterback, they come from all over. So you now have to game plan, not just for Winovich, not just for Kyle Van Noy, not just for Jamie Collins, not for just for Dante Hightower.
Yeah, they have eight guys with two or more. They have nine total players that have had a sack on the season. Collins has 4.5. Winovich only has four.
Okay, four.
Van Noy, Butler, Bennett all have 2.5. Simon, Hightower, Shelton all have two. And then Dietrich Wise has one. And that's pretty wild. I mean, they're all on pretty good paces here so far.
617-779-7937. Gary's in Rhode Island. Hey, Gary.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah, we'll wait.
All right. No, I had you on speaker. All right. And everybody's talking about Patriots. I'm a 49er fan. Nobody's giving them any respect.
It is a Boston station, just to be clear, maybe why we're talking about the Patriots so much.
No, but why I'm saying this is Jimmy G is going to face Brady. Me and my 49er fans around Massachusetts, I already knows it. He's on a way to 36 to 40 touchdown passes this year.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's got 9 right now, and they've only played four games.
He's got 7.
Yeah.
7.
All right, 7. Somewhere around there, 35-40.
No, he would have to really pick it up a notch.
All right, but 70% of his passes, right, are complete.
He's playing good.
He's on pace for 28 touchdowns. Even I can do that math.
Okay, and then Sherman
and how many
is
picks?
Given a
how many
physical presence.
How many picks is he on pace for? I'll tell you, 16.
Yeah, he has 4 so far.
That's a lot of picks.
And they have a physical presence on the field. Oh, my God.
Ignore that part. It's fine.
Go right by.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about him, but who cares?
Actually, we talked about him yesterday, to be honest. I didn't think we would, but they played Monday Night Football.
I apologize.
No, probably. Yeah. Check the podcast. It's fine. Radio.com, WEEI.com.
And Gary, why would we talk a lot about them anyway?
Why? Because it would make a great Super Bowl, because everybody's so sick of the Patriots in the United States, basically, it would make a good storyline. It would make a good storyline.
It would be an incredible storyline. It would be an unbelievable Super Bowl matchup.
Second round pick,
I understand where he's from.
The 49ers.
How about him getting traded
from Super Bowl?
No, it would be incredible. Yeah, but if it was Patriots Niners, holy smokes. And then you throw in Kyle Shanahan, Richard Sherman.
Yeah, but we talked about.
I'm serious.
Gary,
that was going to be funny.
Yeah, I know.
Kyle Shanahan was there when they blew the worst choke job in Super Bowl history.
But we talked about this last night on NBC Sports. There are better matchups, Super Bowl matchups, for the Patriots than.
I think there are better teams than the Niners, but I think that might be the craziest. What about matchup storyline wise? Brady versus Garoppolo.
Oh, everybody Super Bowl? Would go nuts.
What about, good lord?
What about Brady versus Rodgers?
I think Rodgers
or Brady versus
that one
Brees.
Never lives up to the hype when they've played each other in the regular season. And Rodgers is, I would say, a tad overrated.
Brady Brees
would be cool. Both guys in their 40s. Mm-hmm. Because the best quarterback that Brady has ever faced in the Super Bowl was Kurt Warner when you played,
mm-hmm.
but Brady wasn't really Brady yet.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I mean, I know Matt Ryan was an MVP.
Patriots versus Eagles, the rematch.
Yeah, but it's Wentz. It's not even Foles.
That doesn't matter. It's still the team,
though. Foles was the Super Bowl MVP, so yes, it's the rematch, but it's not even the quarterback
anymore.
There's
some other good ones.
No, but I think it would be Brady Garoppolo. I don't think it will happen, but Brady Garoppolo would be the craziest one. Think about
God,
that.
Yeah.
The guy they had. And then you could, the whole storyline of, Bill shipped him out of the AFC, so we didn't have to face him. Well, too bad. You're facing him now in the Super Bowl.
How many questions do you think Bill would have to answer about?
Oh, and he would have so many kind of snarky answers.
So, Bill, you had to get rid of the guy that there are reports that you wanted more than Tom Brady.
Did you ever
Brady.
Think you were going to face him at the Super Bowl? Did you ever think that day would come?
Oh, my God, it'd be great.
You've said before that Garoppolo could do everything Brady could do. Now he's got an opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
And then we could relive the whole conversation. Did Robert Kraft force the trade? Right. I mean, all that stuff would be great.
I'm always curious about fandom. Like Kevin Youkilis was catching crap from New England fans.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because he's a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Grew up in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but he's married loyal, to Brady's sister, though.
But you know, grew up a Bengals fan, stayed loyal to the team that he grew
up
rooting.
And
I respect that. Yeah. He says whenever, if the Bengals aren't playing the Patriots, he roots for the Patriots.
See, that's where the problem is. You can't do that.
Oh, of course
No, you can't. You stay loyal to the team that you grew up and you love, but you can't have like an alliance to another team because
Steve DiAssi's kid is playing against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You root for your kid, right?
Is DiAssi a Pats fan? I mean, he grew up around here, but I know he played for the Giants. Was he a Pats fan as a kid growing up?
Yeah, it's gotta be. I bet he. Well, that's a good question.
I'm a Pats fan, and I've been a Pats fan since since I can remember. If my kid was playing for the Giants, I would not root for the Giants. I might root for my kid to do well, but
have
I
a
would
nice game,
have
know,
a good
you,
game,
you,
but I want to see the Patriots win.
If your kid was playing against the Patriots in a Super Bowl, you wouldn't want your kid to win a Super Bowl?
No.
Oh, Wiggy.
I'd want him to go out there.
You got family issues.
I want him to have a ton of.
If you're a Pats fan.
I want him to have a ton of, if he's on offense, a ton of catches, defense, a ton of sacks.
You wouldn't want your kid to get a ring?
Not against my Patriots.
Yeah, against somebody else.
Somebody else, sure, fine. Yeah. I played for the Carolina Panthers against the Patriots.
And you were rooting for the Pats.
And I was rooting for the Pats.
When you were playing for the Panthers. Yeah. You got to admit, that's a little weird.
That's incredible. Think? Does Steve Smith know about this?
He might not. He probably knows now.
Does Jake DeLone
when
know
we
that
lost,
you were, so when John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds,
there's a little
like,
piece of me that said,
nice.
You know, hey.
Give another Super Bowl.
If we're going to lose, I don't mind losing to the Pats.
You are absolutely
what a competitor.
You're the worst teammate in the history of football.
But he's the best fan.
I went
best
out.
Fan. He's the best fan. There's
right.
ever been.
I didn't, the worst teammate.
But I didn't. My level of play didn't change. I still competed.
How do you know?
Because nice
I know.
Well, you cared nice about game. The other team more than you cared about yours.
Yeah, but my level of play did not change. I still went out there and did everything I could do to help Carolina win.
I don't know. You think you did?
No, I did.
If you were kind of half. Rooting for the team on the other side, you might not have done everything.
No, I know
you
I did everything
done.
Because I was always on a short leash. On that leash
he did
clipped at any time.
Wiggy had two catches for 21 yards. Right. That was all that was
he
asked
He did what he
day.
Could do.
That's right. On two targets.
I jumped over Ellis Hobbs.
There you go.
Picked up an extra
Everybody did.
Six
not bad.
Shots.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, so, you know, I try to wham block Ted Washington a couple times.
How'd that go?
It didn't work out very well, but he didn't make the tackle.
There you go. You did your job.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Andrew Raycroft, our Tuukka Rask whisperer, will join us in just a few minutes. Tommy Curran at 1 o'clock. We'll get back to your calls in a few minutes as well, but it's time to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Follow Dale on Twitter
that. Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
And at the end, I was just crapping. Good.
Just dehydration, probably, or something there.
No, I think just the heat. Yeah, not used to it.
It was Tuukka Rask in the Bruins dressing room after the game last night. Bruins beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-3. They run their record to 3-0. They are 3-0 for the first time since the 01-02 season. Former Bruins goaltender and my Nesson colleague Andrew Raycroft joins us right now. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Morning, guys. Grinding away. Those late starts are killers in the morning.
Aren't they a little tough? Have you ever had to be helped off the ice because of cramping before?
I haven't. No, I wasn't much of a cramper. I certainly saw guys though that you know had issues sometimes, and I never played in Vegas either. So there you go.
What's the plan, you think, for Tuukka Rask? Similar to last year, as far as number of games are concerned, and cause I feel like that formula worked pretty well. And knowing that you have a solid backup, I don't see why they would do anything different.
No question. They'll keep it. They'd probably love to get right to the exact number they did last year. You know, it obviously worked out, you know, to a T. Things change, things happen, and it probably won't be exactly the same, but certainly they'll ride both of these guys as long as they can.
Now, is this something that we're going to have to keep an eye on moving forward with the potential of cramping later on down the road as well?
I don't believe so. This is the first time I recall this happening to Tuukka. I think, you know, just being in Vegas and being in the desert before that in Arizona, I'm sure, you know, he might not have got as many fluids as usual, and it just kind of happened. It was a tough game for him to play last night. Vegas is a team that goes to the net. There's a lot of forechecking, a lot of traffic, and it just seemed like it might have caught up to him at the end.
What we saw was the first game out of the three so far this year where the Bruins' top line looked like the Bruins' top line. By their own admission, they did not have a good start to the season. Bruce Cassidy took the blame and said, that's probably my fault. I didn't play him enough in the preseason. The fact that they're 3-0 and they've really only had one good game out of their top line is probably a pretty positive thing.
Certainly, you know, the first three games have been extremely positive. You know, everybody's contributed, and now to have the big line have the night they did last night. They went, after going down 2-0, the top line was on for that second goal and didn't really do a great job in their own zone. It seemed to light them up, and Patrice made a great play on the first goal and a great pass and a great, you know, all three of them, you know, just had a great night, and to get them going here before they come home is certainly a big deal.
So I think one of the biggest questions facing the team has to do with the top line, and you see a performance like last night, and you say, wow, this is the best line in hockey, and of course those guys should stay together. And yet, Andrew, all I can think about is how the playoffs ended each of the last 2 years where that wasn't the right formula, and if a team is able to limit those guys, then the rest of the scoring all just kind of falls apart. I used to be a proponent of, hey, it's the best line, of course you keep them together, but I really think they should break it up, and maybe obviously Marchand and Bergeron play so well together, you can keep those guys together, that's fine, but would they be better off, and I'm talking long term, not game three of the season, but playoffs second round, would they be better off breaking these guys up?
I don't think so. I think, you know, when you talk about secondary scoring, I think you look to guys like Jake DeBrusque and Krejci, and, you know, those guys just need to pick up more slack. I think the league, you look around the league, everyone has their line. You know, the best teams, you know, ride their horses and put those guys together. And, you know, they do have to score on the power play. I think that's one spot where maybe at the end of last season, you know, they didn't, they just didn't get that one goal in that final game on the power play that they needed to get. And you can look to that, but no, I don't see them changing these, you know, switching these guys or taking these guys apart. You know, there'll be times where Pasternak will go down and they'll move them around a little bit, but at the end of the day, you need those horses together on that top line.
Now, we had Charlie McAvoy on, and he talked about Cassidy wanting the defense to be more involved in the offense. One, and you can kind of see it a little bit the way they're flying around there. Is, you know, Chara going to be able to keep up playing 20-plus minutes a night because he's not getting any younger? Will he be able to do that now with this new improved style of play?
Oh, I think, you know, I think Z will be the one, you know, especially playing with Charlie, is, you know, Charlie will be the one going on offense. He'll be the one flying down the ice, and Z will be the guy staying back holding things, accountable in his end and make sure that the forwards are back. And so, no, he's not going to be, Z's over 40. And in as great a shape as he is, he's not going to be the guy going up and down the ice for 22 minutes. But certainly he can play a lot of penalty kill minutes. He can play, with that big stick and the long reach. He's found a way to be very efficient with his size out on the ice.
Put yourself back in your player's skates here, and you're in that Bruins dressing room. You go out on a four-game road trip to start the season. You know, a couple of the games in particular are going to be tough to win. You've got a couple of other games where you're the home opener opponent for teams. You're probably realistically thinking, man, we go 500. We're in really good shape on this thing. Now that you've won 3 out of 4, how do you guard against being complacent? Okay, we've done our jobs here.
It can be tough. I think this group, of any that I've seen, in the last few years is greedy, in a good way. And I think they're going to look at this like, hey, we've put ourselves in a position to get 4. Let's not lay off the gas here. Let's take all 4 of these wins and get home, on a roll. We've seen them, I've never played on a team that won 19 in a row. We see Tuukka go on a streak with 19 the last 2 years. It's incredible, and it just goes to the way these guys think. Every game is a new game. Every game they can win. So I won't be surprised if I can guarantee that they're going out there saying, "Hey, we're going 4-0 on this trip. Let's go home with 8 points."
Don Sweeney's done a really good job of keeping the guys that he wants at pretty good value too. Whereas if they went out and were unrestricted free agents, they might have made a whole lot more. Hit a couple of restricted guys this offseason, got them back for at least a couple more years in McAvoy and Carlo. But Torrey Krug, who right now is their highest paid defenseman, he will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. What's the most likely scenario you see with Krug? Can they re-sign him during the season, or is he going to test the open market and probably cash in somewhere?
It's a great question, and I think Torrey's probably, at the end of the day, he's the only one who really knows that at this point. But if he's going to sign, I think it's going to get done before the end of the season if he's going to sign here. If he goes out on the market, you start running into getting monster deals and monster money, and to the point where as a player, you just can't even turn it down. But that being said, the Bruins are going to have to move things around. That's at the end of the day, they're just going to have to move things around. It's a salary cap. They can't just give guys whatever they want. And I'm sure, Don has proven and the organization has proven that they're ahead of this and they've done great deals. You just mentioned McAvoy and Carlo this summer. That helps. Obviously Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak are at team friendly deals at this point. So the bar's set, and if Torrey wants to stay here and he really wants to play here, then it seems as though they're going to make the deals that have to happen, but it's also going to have to be at a number that, another team is probably going to give Torrey a lot more come summertime.
Is Krug worth a significant investment? Just, how good he is on the power play. You know what kind of offensive defenseman he is. But out of the 6 defensemen that play every night, he's probably the weakest defensively. And if you're talking about, an upgrade from here where he would clearly be far and away the highest paid defenseman, and as you said, it's obviously a salary cap league. You can't pay everybody. Is that type of player, him specifically, is he worth a big raise?
I believe he is. You look at the game and obviously it's easy to go, that he's, weak defensively, but last night he broke up 3 2-on-1s. He does it a little differently. It's going to look different than when, Chara's locking down, a top line, obviously with Krug's side, it just doesn't, that's not what he does, but he's able to control the game, in different ways and not defensively, whether it's, on the power play, moving around with those guys or skating the puck and making a great first pass. So I think he's really come into his own in the last year and a half on a different level. I think he's really, his game's gone to a different level. And, I always, having him as a Bruin for this long a time, you don't necessarily know what the guy from the outside is going to look like when he comes here. So if you can get a guy that's been in your organization for this long and is homegrown, if you can keep these guys, and that's what the Bruins have done so well, is they've kept their guys in-house. I think you look to do that and willing to do a little bit more to keep those guys than to let them go and then try to find a piece that fits that role in the offseason somewhere else.
Now, this team was one game away last year from, you know, winning it all. This year they're on an unbelievable start. How much pressure do you think these players are feeling just, you know, from fans and media because the expectations are so high? And will that pressure help them or hurt them as they continue to go on through this season and to ultimately closing the deal, which is winning a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, you know, I think they feel disappointed as much as anyone. You know, I think they all obviously know what they had right in front of them. You know, but I also think, you know, those guys recognize how hard it is to get to a Stanley Cup final in Game 7. And I think they're also pretty proud of what they did at the end of the day. And they're, like I said earlier about this road trip and winning this next game, they're greedy and they have a lot of pride and they want to win every night. So, you know, I think that there's pressure on the outside and you know, maybe more so the core guys would love to, you know, cement their legacy and et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, they stay pretty game to game and they just work real hard and work for each other. And so I don't know if the pressure is going to get to them from the outside. I think they just want to win.
So the morning show was making mock of our acting abilities with our open last night. I'm just saying.
Come on.
It seemed harsh to me. I mean, you're right. How dare they? But a little inside, you know, radio TV for you boys and girls. Not only did Andrew make the glove save and he wouldn't take the glove off last night, what you don't know is that on the glove it says Rask.
Oh, boy.
You were using Tuukka Rask's glove last night.
No.
I was. I mean, yeah, my kids love Tuukka, so I was able to, you know, I might know a guy or two there, so I was, the kids used those gloves down for mini sticks down in the basement, and because we had planned our acting ability so far in advance, I had to rush and get a glove as I was running out of the house, because, again, my acting, I've been practicing that bit for so long.
Well, it obviously showed. I'm sure there's an Emmy in your future for all of that. I mean, you already won an Emmy,
another
right?
One.
You won an Emmy for your acting chops with Patrice Bergeron in that Bruins commercial back in the day. Wow.
I do have an Emmy in the house that hopefully no one saw it last night because I might have to give it back.
We are going to find that commercial and we're going to post it on the Dale and Keith Twitter account because you look like you're about 12 and Patrice looks like he's 9.
I know,
commercial.
He's even younger.
Yeah, I know.
It's incredible.
Andrew, we appreciate it. We'll be talking to you throughout the season. Thanks.
Awesome. Look forward to it. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Andrew.
Take care.
That is former Bruins goaltender Andrew Raycroft, one of my Nesson colleagues, and he is our Tuukka Rask whisperer. So, you know, he knew. He actually said post-game last night he thought it might be cramps, and this was before we ultimately learned that it was.
What Cassie throw out there? It might be a pulled muscle.
Right.
Like, cramping
is
what?
Yeah, cramping is like, you know,
you get over that.
Much better relief as somebody go, whoo, it's not a pulled groin or something.
Have a drink.
Ridiculous.
Yes. Hydrate. Get some Pedialyte in you.
Yeah. You're good to go.
A
little extra salt on your steak and you'll be good to go.
I think the salt thing, Wiggy, that's been debunked for a while now. That whole, you know, salt tablets on the sidelines and all that.
People are still doing it.
Yeah, they're still doing it. I mean, whatever works for you, Dan.
I understand. 617-779-7937. We get right back to the calls with you. Coming up next, we'll talk to Tommy Curran just after 1. Dale and Keith with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Hey, let's go. There's going to be a lot of traffic on the way to the game.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Great plates. I want them too. Are you even old enough to drive?
I'm not sure what jumps out at me more, listening to the audio of that old Andrew Raycroft, Patrice Bergeron commercial. How poorly acted it was on the part of Raycroft, or how thick was the French accent that Patrice Bergeron had back when he was 18 years old and just coming into the league.
Well, listen, if you want to win an Emmy, that's the kind of performance that you have to put on.
I guess it don't take much to win an Emmy.
No, it does not. Can we tweet that?
How many have you got?
I mean, I've never had been in a commercial, but I guess
you probably have some that you haven't picked up. I'm sure you have one. They're handing them out.
Do you have to like candy put in? Say, all right, I want this to be.
Oh yeah, for your consideration.
Yeah,
you have to do that.
So see, I might have never done that before.
Apparently, you don't have any.
Might be the reason why.
Oh, could be.
That's not bad.
Have we tweeted that out so that people can see?
Yes, we did.
How youthful young Andrew Raycroft looked.
Young
pup. With the bad moss going and everything else.
Yeah.
By the way, there was a little text exchange going on within the show yesterday afternoon because Rich Keefe got all excited when he found out that Antonio Brown's accuser, Brittany Taylor, had dropped her federal lawsuit, her complaint against Antonio Brown. Of course, then he sort of got less excited when he found out that all she did was say that she was refiling it in state court in Broward County in Florida.
I just said re-sign it, but I would have said that before, after, during, doesn't matter.
She's not dropping the suit. She's not changing her story. All she's doing, and I don't know the legalities of this, is choosing to litigate it in state court rather than federal court. I don't know what the reason would be for that.
No clue.
Yeah, I have. They should have asked Larry the lawyer when he was on Greg Hill this morning.
Exactly.
They have no idea.
Did he have an answer for that? Did they ask him about that? I don't even know if it came up.
Yeah. Well, you look at the situation, who knows where it's going. And I still think teams are kind of concerned because they're waiting to see what ends up happening.
Like, do we bring him in and then is he even allowed to play?
Right.
Right. I think some teams would take him on and they would look the other way on everything until he is suspended. But right now you don't know if that would happen. Now all of a sudden, what if you guaranteed him money and then the next thing you know, it's a tough spot.
He's
in the
put
league.
On the commissioner's
well, and the league would rather not do anything about it and then just leave him out there.
Well, there's a narrative out there that the league can't put him on the commissioner's exempt list now because he's not on a roster, but that if a team signed him, the league would then put him on the commissioner's exempt list, but I don't know what that's based on.
I don't know either.
Right.
And I don't know if any of those owners have been tipped off to it. Like,
well,
the fact
that nobody's doing anything sort of leads you to believe that, doesn't
it? Is he blackballed? Going on. Are we talking about a blackball situation? Or is it just these teams look at it and say, and it would be a small list of teams I think would actually be interested because.
But we always assume Dallas would be one
of
them.
Yeah, I think Dallas, I think Seattle, I think Kansas City, I think Philly. Like, I think there are teams that would take them on. But a lot of them wouldn't. If you're a terrible team, it makes no sense. If you have a really young quarterback, he probably wouldn't work out. But some of those other teams, I wonder if they have been tipped off that, hey, this guy's not going to be able to play anyway, or if it's one of those, hey, we won't sign him if you don't sign him. I don't know.
See, I think it's more that they don't know what the situation is. I don't even know if the league's told them. And that was the thing that...
But I could see Jerry Jones calling Roger Goodell, saying, hey, listen, if I signed him, are you going to stick him on the list?
Well, don't you think Drew Rosenhaus would then know that he's been around long enough where I feel like he has enough juice to get some answers from the league because Antonio Brown took to Twitter an hour ago.
Yes, he did.
And said,
quote,
word from my therapist, the best wide receiver in the world is home in Miami.
Did he pay this therapist? He's had issues paying trainers and
yeah,
therapists
unlikely.
And stuff.
Could be
yeah.
on insurance though. Maybe
yeah,
you know, he could be his
it's
insurance
an IOU.
Could be paying it.
Oh, that's true. Could be just getting picked up on that end.
Yeah,
but he's right.
I mean,
the best receiver is home.
As far as we know, and believe me, we'd know. No team has talked to him. I mean, no team has said, "Hey, you want to come in and do a workout." No team has expressed any interest in bringing him in.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah, his agent said that there's been some interest.
I think there's interest.
Did he? Drew Rosenhaus said there's been some interest.
Well, when
everything.
Was he wrong? Right. Rosenhaus said the Patriots offered him, they were interested. He was right about that.
Right.
I mean, Rosenhaus has been telling the truth.
What does it mean? If Drew Rosenhaus says teams have expressed interest, but nobody brings him in to talk to him.
Well, you just said nobody's expressed interest. And we're saying Rosenhaus has said teams have, but it's that thing.
They're not going to bring him in to work him out because they think he's going on the exempt list.
They wouldn't have to work him out.
He would be one of those guys that he wouldn't be a workout type player.
You don't need to work him out.
It would be
he's not Nick Rose or Ty Forbath.
Yeah, but I absolutely would bring him in and talk to him before I ever sign him to a deal.
But that's what I think they're talking to Rosenhaus about. But I think they are, what we originally said, worried about him being suspended or him not being able to play for whatever the reasons are. And so they're interested, and it's almost like, hey, if you get answers and find out that he's cleared, you let us know, and then we would bring him in.
And I don't think the NFL is telling Rosenhaus, because he's got to be calling and saying, what's the deal here? If he plays, are you going to put him on the exempt list? Because teams want to know. But it's one of those out of sight, out of mind, and the NFL doesn't want to deal with it. Because he's not around.
Right, they just leave it alone and there's less headlines with him in it.
But nobody's signing him, right?
Right, but I think it's not
right now.
He's being hurt because the league's not made a statement on.
Well, they can't. In other words, he's not on a roster, so they can't put him on the exempt list. What they're not going to do is say, hey, you sign him, we're putting him on the exempt list,
They suspended Kareem Hunt and he wasn't on a team. When Kareem Hunt got suspended,
he'd
already been cut by the Chiefs. They suspended him, and then he got picked up by Cleveland.
Right,
and they knew he was going to be suspended. I believe for whatever it was, eight games.
We mentioned the other day when Antonio Brown did not take very seriously the deposition that a judge ordered him to appear for, and we pointed out that these depositions are videotaped, and this is going to go in front of a judge. It has. And according to Daniel Wallach, Antonio Brown has been ordered by a Miami judge to appear for another deposition by October 15th and to comply with a document subpoena. I can promise you this judge, this deposition, he is not going to be allowed to make a mockery of it like he did the last one, because now what the judge is saying is, you come on back in here.
Mm-hmm.
You come here. He just completely took the other one.
They might want to
joke.
Sedate him. I think you should go in there, maybe give him a lot of NyQuil and bring him in there, and he'd be kind of more calm. Maybe he can kind of maybe take a snooze.
Yeah, but isn't a deposition, isn't that just an account of what happened from...
Yeah, and he wouldn't answer questions.
From your perspective?
Yeah, he wouldn't answer. 10 times in a row, he said next question.
He wasn't super cooperative.
But do you have to answer questions in a deposition?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes, you're under oath. Yes.
Run the rope. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you might be on the rope, but you might be like, I'm not answering this.
Well, then what they do is then they say that you're guilty.
If you plead the fifth, you're guilty.
He didn't plead the fifth.
Well, do you have to this is why we need Larry the lawyer.
Yeah, we do.
Do you have to say
follow up?
Do you have to say in a deposition, I plead the fifth, or can you just not answer the question?
He wouldn't even respond. He was texting on his phone. He was ignoring the questions.
Well, he didn't lie.
Yeah, he didn't lie. Can you? I don't know. I've never been deposed.
The judge will do then is say, okay, well, this is evidence that you haven't offered anything showing that you're not guilty. Mm-hmm. So guess what? You can't just sit there and text during a deposition. Or when they ask questions, just say next question, next question. No, judges don't allow that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's when you see. I don't think this whole deposition thing, I think it's irrelevant to whether or not the league needs to make a decision on Antonio Brown. So,
well, there isn't a decision to be made.
Well, then he should be good to go.
Then have at it and sign him. And
somebody
he's going to be put on the exempt list or not.
So then there's no suspension and there should be no put on the commissioner's exempt list. That's what you're saying.
Based on everything
there's
we know
there's
right
no
now,
decision, right?
Play.
If you're saying the league doesn't have to
There is no decision. There's nothing that the league doesn't say, look, if you sign him, just so you know. No, that's not how it works.
If he was still on the Patriots, he'd be playing tomorrow night. The league has nothing right now, I don't think, to actually suspend him.
Okay, so then... So if he signs with a team, then he shouldn't be suspended.
He shouldn't
be suspended, or it shouldn't even be uttered, put him on the commission exempt list, right?
The league is really tough to figure out in that sense, because there were times I thought Tyreek Hill might get suspended, and he didn't. I thought Robert Kraft might get some sort of punishment. He didn't. So it's hard to tell. Listen, we're going to sign you. we're going to give you however many million dollars per game that you play.
Right.
We can only do that. We won't agree to anything else. I don't know what's going to happen to you. You might get popped. You might not be able to play with us. But as soon as you play, we will pay you every penny as long as you're on the field.
Right.
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you, Tommy Curran, just after 1. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.